So what are the things we are going to look into physical planning? One is location and grouping, where it will be grouped. Suppose in a multi-speciality hospital, you have got all the operation theaters on one floor, maybe around 10-12 theaters if you have got. Now it will be difficult for you to supply to these 12 theaters or 20 theaters from a different floor to all the so much of material required by them from CSSD. You can have a separate satellite unit of CSSD or surgical central sterile supply department you can have, which can provide all the material to them so that it is faster, quicker, the efficient way in which it is being distributed, and time is saved. Then the layout and space requirement, how the layout will be there for various processes which are required to be done in the central sterile supply department, so that there is minimal time wastage as well as it is done effectively and efficiently. And what are the space requirements for each and every aspect? Then what are the various fixtures and furnitures required in the CSSD? So all these things will come under physical planning. Then the rule of thumb, if we see, roughly 10 square feet per bed is required as per MCGI Bonnie. The administration and storage, that is unsterile area, is required around 21 square meter. Reception, cleaning, checking, assembly and packing area around 35 square meter. Autoclaving area 28 square meter. Sterile storage and issue area 28 square meter. So these are the scales of ACCN for Armed Forces hospitals. Say around more than 700 beds normally are there. So these are the requirement. So around 1320 square feet will be required as per these guidelines. Now what are the various equipment to be used in CSSD? One is jet water cleaning gadgets. You need to clean the material coming to CSSD department thoroughly, so that it is absolutely clean, and for that you need specialized equipments. Maybe jet water cleaning gadgets, ultrasonic washouts also are required for certain very fine instruments. Then you can have glove sharpener, needle sharpener, gas, chemical or steam autoclaves, testing apparatus for efficiency of sterilization. So apart from having these common equipment needed, you should have the testing apparatus separately to see to it that all the sterilization that you are doing are 100%, and this will give us the gauge to you that whatever you have done, yes, it is 100% sterile and now it can be used properly and distributed, so that there is not going to be any complaint from anybody. And the other equipment can be for maintenance and repair equipment, so some additional equipment may be required. Adequate number of cabins and furnitures for all the staff and putting all the materials. There should be a telephone or intercom, and there should be adequate number of syringes and procedure sets available based on the number of beds and based on the requirement hospital, so that all the sets are ready whenever the surgeon or the doctor or the physician asks for it. What are the number of sets and syringes required? Usually 1.5 daily requirement in use at wards or departments. So whatever requirement is there, you should keep 1.5 times that. That means 0.5 times more you should keep, so that in emergency also, if something goes wrong, something falls, or you get some additional number of patients coming for that particular problem, you need not have any shortage of your requirement to be fulfilled. Then one daily requirement is sterile set at CSSD, which should be ready for use. One in C category, one daily requirement being processed at CSSD, and 1 to 1.5 daily requirement held in reserve dome in CSSD, some in medical stores also. So totally 4.5 to 5 times the daily requirement should be kept, so that there should not be any shortage any time in case of emergency, in case of some disaster occurring also. So totally you need 4.5 to 5 times of your daily requirement, and there should not be any problem whatsoever. What are the methods of sterilization and disinfection? There can be natural methods in the form of sunlight where ultraviolet rays are there, air where desiccation is occurring, chemical methods where solids, lime, bleaching powder, potassium permanganate, liquids, formalin, phenol, alcohol, glutaraldehyde, gases, formaldehyde, ethylene oxide, and physical in the form of dry heat where burning or dry air is there, where 160 degrees centigrade temperature can be achieved, which can be used for 60 minutes for total sterilization, or there can be moist heat in the form of boiling steam, or there can be ionizing radiation or UV rays to be used. So that these are the various methods used for sterilization or disinfection. What are the chemicals? Cydex, a glutaraldehyde derivative, is the most effective as it destroys spores too. Now what are these spores? In bacteria, there are certain spores which are very, very resistant to the various chemicals which make them kill. So see, spores still remain alive at times with many of the chemicals used to sterilize, for aseptic things to be done. So glutaraldehyde, Cytex, is a very strong kind of chemical which will even kill the spores, so that there is 100% guarantee with us that it is bacteria free. Otherwise the spores will grow into bacteria later. Ethylene oxide, it is also quite effective against spores too. It is useful for delicate instruments and items which cannot be immersed in liquids. We know Cydex is a liquid. There are certain sharp instruments, there are certain equipments which if we dip them in liquids, their effectivity is not there, and hence we use ethylene oxide when we want to make them sterile. Low boiling point like 10 degrees centigrade, prolonged aeration is there with this kind of sterilization. However, it is highly expensive, it is explosive as well as toxic. So one has to take all the precautions by using the all personal protective equipment when using this kind of ethylene oxide gas while making its use for sterilization. What are the various types of sterilization techniques? We have seen dry heat, steam, high pressure autoclaves which can be operated by gas or can be operated by kerosene oil or can be operated by electricity, where either it is in the form of flash or pulse. Most of the modern autoclaves are used, what we are using is electricity rather than gas or kerosene oil. Then ethylene oxide sterilization, we have seen chemical sterilization. Radiation sterilization is infrared radiation, which is mainly used for syringes. Ultraviolet radiation, which is used for decontamination of the air. Ultraviolet radiation we have seen even for premature babies and all, to make the environment sterile there, so that the vulnerable premature baby is not going to be infected. Ionizing radiation, gamma radiation, Isomet is used at BARC. So what's a sterilization basically? It's a process of freeing an article from all living organisms including bacteria, fungal spores and viruses. So we are not only taking care of bacteria but even fungal spores and viruses while we are making the article sterile. A material is pronounced sterile if it achieves 99.99% kill of bacterial spores. Not only the bacteria but even the bacterial spores which are resistant, when you are able to kill 99.99% of bacterial spores, then only we pronounce that now this article is sterile and it can be used for treating patients. Now, what is steam sterilization? Where water is saturated, boiled, so wet vapor is there, or there can be dry saturated vapor, or there can be superheated vapor, that is, and steam, that is, steam will be at 100 degrees centigrade or more. So, steam with less than 0.95 dryness factor is not useful for sterilization. If we consider the dryness factor of steam, it has to be more than 0.95, then only it can be used for sterilization. Superheated steam acts like dry hot air only. So, strength of steam is its latent heat. Ultimately, the latent heat is the main strength of steam. What steam? It is water converted into gas, and for that 1 gram of water, when it converts into 1 gram of steam, usually there is a latent heat of sterilization which is there, and this gives sterilization. So, mode of action: dry heat is basically by oxidation, and steam is by denaturation, where they are coagulating the proteins of bacteria, and that's how the bacteria are killed. Sterilization time, if we see, that is holding time plus safety time, and the pressure required in the form of pound per square inch, and the temperature required, if we see, usually the sterilization time can be 2 plus 1, that is 3, at the pressure of 30 psi and the temperature 134. If it is 8 plus 2, that is 10, then the pressure required may be 20 and the temperature required can be 126. While 12 plus 3, that is 15, that is holding time of 12 and safety time of 3, that is 15, then PSI required may be 15 and temperature required may be 121. So, different kind of autoclaves that are made, they see to it that based on this formula, they will tell us to make it sterile within so much of time, and so much of pressure and temperature will be achieved in that. So, what are the various types of autoclaving machines? One is downward displacement, where vacuum assisted or pulsed steam dilution is occurring in that. Usually vacuum assisted are more commonly used in India. Now, test for efficiency of sterilization, if we see. Whenever we are doing sterilization process, whether it is efficiently done or not, whether it is achieving the optimum result of sterilization, as we have seen, 99.99%, it should be spore free. Bacterial spores also should be killed. So, when we can achieve that kind of sterilization, how to identify that, whether we have achieved that kind of sterilization or not? For that, there are certain indicator strips or some chemical strips available, whereby we can see the change occurring in that and confirm that yes, now it is sterile. So, there are specially treated paper strips available. So, which if you apply to the autoclave, the color of that will change to a particular color, and then we can say that, which is given in the booklet given along with it, which tells us that this is when you can say that 100% sterility is achieved. Then there are pressure sensitive tape to be fixed to the final fold, or there are brown indicator tubes which when kept in the autoclave or other apparatus, whatever you are using, it will give you an indication that now it is 100% sterile. But then they are very expensive, and there are biological, where it is green strip containing bacteria, where the color must change to black. So, in biological kind of indicator, the green strips which are containing bacteria are used as an indicator, and when this green strip becomes black, it means that 100% sterilization has occurred, and that is the quality required. Then cellophane wrapped tablet containing 75% glucose and 24% starch and 1% of magnesium trisilicate can also be used as an indicator, where the tablet turns brown during autoclaving. then microbiological examination of finished products can be done to check whether it is bacteria free. And there are thermocouples also which can be used for checking this. Now, what are the advantages of steam sterilization? One is it leads to rapid heating and penetration of loads, that means large amount of material can be made sterile by this. Destruction of all forms of microbial life is occurring, and there is no residual toxicity which is remaining in this. And there is no damage to supplies being sterilized. The supplies which are sterilized by steam method, steam sterilization, there is no damage occurring to them. And the quality control is comparatively easy by easy such strip method and various other methods we have seen earlier. And finally, it is really economical and dependable, reliable. This method is unsuitable for heat sensitive and non-permeable material. However, some of the material which is heat sensitive, then it will change its properties and naturally we cannot use it. So, those materials which are heat sensitive, we cannot use the steam sterilization method for it. And there are certain non-permeable materials where the steam cannot penetrate this material, then naturally it does not become sterile and we cannot use this method. So, there are other methods of sterilization, chemical methods, radiation methods, etc. So, radiation sterilization is IsoMed at BRC Trombay, where the dose is 2.5 mega roentgen. The source is cobalt 60 or cesium 137 or electron beam, which is generated by linear accelerator. Such equipments are available at BRC, so that this kind of beams are generated, and when the material is exposed to these, they become sterile. It is very reliable. It can penetrate all types of packing, and in fact large and diverse shaped articles can be sterilized by this method, which may not be possible in some other methods. There is no residual radioactivity at 2.5 mega roentgens, which is the dose required for this. So, you should not worry for residual radioactivity remaining, which can adversely affect the person later. Glass becomes dark. Cotton loses its tensile property, and food may get undesirable flavor. Because of this, it is not very practicable in hospital premises, because these are some of the common items which we want to make them sterile. So, by this kind of method of IsoMed, however, cotton, the glass and the food may not be the right thing to be made sterile by this method. Now, as far as the staffing is concerned, Bhattacharji, one of the experts in CSST, has recommended that what you need is around 4 supervisors. There can be sister, male ward masters, 5 staff nurses, 6 technicians, 24 attendants, 4 sweepers and 1 clerk, that is 44. So, this is the rule of thumb. If we see per 100 beds, we require around 44 total staff. How it should be distributed? One is regular issue of 1 day's requirement. Every day you can give the 1 day's requirement to the ward, to the casualty, to the OT, etc. Or there can be another way of giving clean for the dirty exchange. So, you go to ward, and whatever number of things are dirty, that means utilized, you can exchange them with clean supply, the sterile supply. Then comes milk round system, where you are topping up the predetermined stock level. Suppose you have fixed one stock level, say we need On an average, usually say around 50 gloves are needed for this ball. Now you have decided we'll give 20 extra, so 70 is the level you have kept for this particular ball. Every day morning you go to that ball and find out what is the level there. Suppose it is 40, you add 30. Suppose it is 50, you add 20, so that the top up level of 70 is achieved. So that is the milk round system, or like a grocery. Most of the household people, what they do, whatever is required, they go and buy that. So, as per requirement, you can give them. Let's understand the suggested layout of CSSD so that it functions optimally. There can be assembly or parking room. There can be adjacent to that cleaning and washing room, where on the other side there can be autoclave room where the it will be made sterile. On one side of this you can have clean storage and clean reception. Here below this you can have disassembly and dirty reception. There can be ramp there which can be used. There should be a separate glass partition so that this department of autoclave room is separate. There can be one supervisor's office who can see through the glass how the autoclaving is being going on properly or not. On the one side of this there can be sterile storage. There can be a veranda in between where the air movement is good, and sterile issue room can be there from where the sterile things can be issued. So this is the intramural communication line should be there, so from within people can talk to each other also. Now there is something known as thermal dead time. Now thermal dead time is the time required to kill a known population of microorganisms in a specific suspension at a particular temperature. Suppose we say there are 100 microorganisms in this, and when we are going to keep this in an autoclave for say 5 minutes, then at a temperature of say 130 degree centigrade and this much of PSI, it is going to kill all 100 microorganisms in this, then this becomes a thermal death time. So it's a time required to kill a known population of microorganisms in a specific suspension at a particular temperature. Increasing temperature decreases TDT. When you increase this temperature, say from 130 to 140, then it is going to decrease the time required to kill this bacteria. Lowering the temperature will increase the TDT. That means instead of 130, you lower the temperature to 120, then instead of 5 minutes, it may take 7 minutes or 8 minutes. So, lowering the temperature is going to increase the thermal dead time. Acidic or basic pH also may decrease the thermal dead time. Fats and oils usually leads to slow penetration of the heat, and hence it increases the thermal death time. What is the implication of this? It means if some grease is there on the linen or the material, or if some oil is there and you think that my time is 5 minutes and it will be making it sterile, no, it will take more time. So you have to see to it that it is cleaned thoroughly before sending it for sterilization, and hence you need ultrasonic washers and proper washing of the material before sending it for sterilization, so that there is no question of any fats or oils which are attached to this material, and hence your TDT is not right for that kind of sterilization. Now let's learn a very important topic for hospital services, and that is quality control services and hospital infection control team. We have learned in most of the industries, whether it is manufacturing industry or servicing industry, everywhere, quality products and services are needed. Otherwise, the customer is not satisfied. Today is the world of customers. Customer is God. Their expectations are increasing day by day. The rules and regulations are also increasing day by day. With Consumer Protection Act, the importance of quality is much more as compared to what it was earlier. There are patients who is a customer for a hospital. He has become too much aware. He is highly knowledgeable today. And with information technology revolution, at the click of a button, they can get all the information needed for even medical and paramedical things so easily. So many times the informed patient is coming to you who knows much more about his disease, sometimes better than you, with the information available. Of course, he is not an expert, so at times you may be confused with different kinds of opinions about the same, and there can be some rare things which also he thinks that he may be having. So it becomes difficult for doctor sometimes to convince him the right thing. So the hospital authorities should see to it that their hospital services that they are giving are up to the mark, they are having the latest equipments, they are having the highly knowledgeable and competent medical and paramedical staff who are updating their knowledge regularly. At the same time, they are having proper documentation of everything that they are doing, which helps us in finding out the structure, process and outcome of each and everything that is being done in the hospital to have the right kind of quality services given to the patients, which is occurring nowadays by accreditation bodies also, which are giving us the quality parameters to be taken care of. The accreditation bodies are in the form of ISO, which is there for manufacturing industries, service industries also. ISO usually is not that commonly used for hospitals, but at least for health centers and some of the other health smaller units can have ISO. But for hospitals, there are Joint Commission of International, JCI, JECO, and in India we have got NABH, National Accreditation Board of Hospitals and Healthcare Units. So we learn about these things. And secondly, as we know, nosocomial infection or hospital acquired infection is very important to be controlled, and hence we should have a separate hospital infection control team formed, which should take the responsibility and should have the right kind of experts with them who should monitor and evaluate the services in such a way that hospital acquired infections can be prevented as far as possible. Now, the quality control in hospital services, if we see, these are the activities that evaluate, monitor or regulate services which are rendered to patients as well as to relatives. Patient is your customer, no doubt. But with every patient, there are going to be some relatives coming. So even they expect a lot from the medical and paramedical staff, that they should be explained about the condition of the patient. They should be explained about what are the various treatments available, what are the advantages and disadvantages of that, while taking decision for their own near and dear one. While giving consent to various procedures, they should know what are the implications, and they are observing how you are behaving, how the hygienic conditions are maintained in the hospital, what is the laundry and linen you are looking after properly or not, whether housekeeping is excellent or not, whether the reception is greeting them with smile and giving them the right kind of guidance or not, and how is your public relations. So all these aspects are also equally important apart from your technical services that you provide to the patient. So one has to see and monitor and regulate all these services which can be there for patients as well as for the relatives, whether you are providing the right kind of toilet facilities to relatives, the PCO facility, and so on and so forth, also will be looked after. Observe the process. As we know, once we take care of the process, usually the results are going to take care of itself. So processes are very, very important. They should be scrupulously monitored. They should be rightly developed right from beginning, taking into consideration the various aspects of it and the future requirements as well. And they should be updated regularly so that whatever new things are coming in the world, you should be aware of that and you should modify your processes in the right perspective so that tomorrow you should not be considered as negligent and you should not be sued by the patient or his relative. So observe the process, identify all the variable characteristics, track these variables through various statistical methods. When you learn quality management, you will learn that there are various statistical methods available to know the quality of the product or service that you are providing. Statistical control methods are very important for us to learn and then apply it when using the hospital services as well.